Voy. This is Notes from a Native Daughter. I am Sol Daniela, and my guest today is the wonderful and amazing Gaston Solniki. It's a new discovery for me. We're here to talk about his latest film, Texacayú, which I hope I pronounced it correctly, which was an official selection at this year's Venice, Toronto, and New York film festivals. If you're in New York, you will be able to catch his latest film next week, October 4th and 5th, at the Walter Reed Theater, and on the 5th at the Bruno Walter Auditorium. What caught my attention was the first line that describes the film, a portrait of several young women at the threshold of adulthood. And I myself feel that I am a young woman at the threshold of adulthood. So I watched the film, and I have to say that I immediately began to cry because this is getting personal, but I want to share it with Gaston. My husband died, and as I was watching the film, I have to say it was the first time that something resembled something that could explain how I felt for the past year. And it captivated me. And so I think, I mean, I'm going to add, I don't think I said it before, that I think Gaston is a poet. There's just something in him that, in his eyes, his reflection, what we see is just beautiful visual poetry. And then I went on to, you know, research all of him, his work, and do as much as like investigation as I could. And I have him here, and I'm so happy that you're giving me this time. And congratulations on the beautiful film and on your accolades.
So Daniela, I'm so honored by this introduction. I had no idea you felt this way about Texacayú and about my work. And I'm really touched by what you say, because, I mean, for many reasons, of course, one does not always receive this kind of feedback of one's work. And having, you know, coming from a background of a very, very sort of personal documentary work, especially my previous film, Papilosen, which had to do with portraying my film throughout my family throughout like 12 years of my life. This transition to a narrative of working with materials where I had like less control or less access, and it was more about staging and, you know, the limit of what I could do with the manipulation, not more manipulation than I needed, was very important and difficult for me, moving away of this more known materials in my previous work, and since it has only screened in two festivals at this point, and not too many people saw it, for me on the first hand, because the film is not a very linear or very traditional kind of narrative, or that the audience are very comfortable necessarily in exactly what to expect or how to relate to the information that the film organizes, I myself have been, I would say, not worried, but curious to learn how people react to the film, and the fact that there is an emotional potential sort of link with the audience that can connect to such important experiences as you recall. For me, it's very special because I do care about this very much, actually. I'm not the kind of filmmaker who only worries about expressing himself, but I am thinking a lot about the audience. Not in a way like many colleagues think that it's condescending or commercial, but rather in terms of communication, just like a composer can do or many filmmakers do, which has to do, even though it's not a sort of a recipe of how to tell a story or how to approach these narrative materials, but still engaged and very much worried or involved with how this information is emotionally and, of course, also cognitively organized and perceived by the audience. So I'm very happy to learn that such possibilities of connections with these materials are possible. And I do believe, of course, that regardless of this sort of synopsis of storyline, which is a simple way to describe the film on the surface, but that I think there are very dark and very deep materials engaged, not only with the story of Lupier, that it's not so present in the film, but that somehow is immersed in this atmosphere, and also, of course, in the music of Béla Bartók and in the world of the characters I portray. So it makes me very happy.
Yeah, I mean, it was so powerful. I tell you, I was sort of relieved. I felt a bit of redemption, which is curious because, you know, I went through the story, you know, through my own lens, from my own perspective, without, I wasn't expecting it. So it really moved me. And the women in the film are absolutely astounding. Who are they? I mean, I love the fact that all of their first names are their first names in real life in the film. Was that on purpose?
Well, it's more on purpose. It's sort of a natural fact because the film, I mean, let me talk a little bit about how the film was made. It is a fiction, or it certainly is my transition to fiction, and it's not based on a preconceived structure, neither financially or narratively. We had no script. And many of these characters sort of appeared as we went. Mm-hmm. The film was written in two halves. The first part was a month, a year and a half ago in Uruguay, and the starting point of the film was this idea of making a film inspired by this beautiful opera that Bartók wrote.
Sorry to interrupt. I listened to it on Monday. To the opera.
What?
I listened
in
to
New York?
It. Well,
you mean not in live?
No, yeah, on iTunes. You know,
oh,
like I downloaded.
I thought it was playing on the.
No, no. You know, I had to listen to, you know, to Bartók. I had to listen to it and be like, what is it?
You know, there is something, and also so we can talk a lot about the opera, but this is an opera from the early 20th century, and not just the early, but 1911, 1914, somewhere in that range was sort of composed and then premiered. It was very accidentally, didn't have a very good reception at first. And in a way, it has to do with a very sensitive context of the world, just like today, mm-hmm. I feel. And this is one of the reasons I was engaged with the idea of dealing with this material. On top of the incredible, musical potential and beauty of the opera itself, but also there was all of these materials and layers which I thought were very cinematic. Bartók, in a way, himself, he doesn't deal with this legend of Lupier in a very linear way. He shifts the characters and the acts a lot, and I choose to sort of move on in the same fashion as Bartók does, but starting from his opera. Mm-hmm. So at the first, our idea was to go to Uruguay to shoot this summer resort where I spent a lot of summers myself. And there's this connection with my niece, which is the first character we recognize in the film, this very enigmatic and attractive, dark-haired young girl.
Yes.
She's my niece, and you can see her also in my previous film. So for me, again, talking about the transition of a documentary to a more of a fictional world, it's a way of dealing with familiar materials, like my family itself, in my case, and moving on into a new dimension. So she was one of the main original aspects. And she and Bartók were the starting point of the film. Mm-hmm. Once we were in Uruguay, we met Laila Maltz, who is the protagonist, so to say, of the film. She's the blonde character, yeah, who appears half halfway through the film. Mm-hmm. And through her, we met all of the other characters. And because a lot of the fiction was inspired in circumstances, in real circumstances of themselves, and there, like I said before, there was no script. Not that we did not try to push that, but we didn't really have. I never wanted to turn against the nature of my own materials, because the origin of the film was very documentary in a way. We called the characters just how they are called. We didn't feel like it was necessary to go in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the idea of character, I would say, is not an idea of one usually expects from a character in a fiction film, where one is portraying it with a sort of more arbitrary archetypical decisions, even if it's nuanced. In this case, we didn't know what we were doing or what was going on throughout the process. So, yes, I guess that's the documentary part of the fiction in this film.
I see. And your niece, she is so powerful. The power of the women to stare onto the camera, that is it's uncanny. I don't think so many people can do that.
She's quite remarkable. Yes, she wasn't. I mean, what you see really in the film are her real emotions. You know, she mm-hmm. was really acting for us. She was really fed up with us and with the film, and you see a lot of frustration. And she's not acting it; she's holding it there in front of us, and we are portraying it. But it was really going on. You know, she wasn't so engaged with this idea in a way. But at the same time, she was there, you know, letting herself be sort of recorded or portrayed. So, like I said, this was a starting point, and then we moved on to materials and people that we could at least ask them to do things for the camera.
Right.
And that was the transition, because she was not very collaborative.
Wow, incredible. Y otra cosa. So this, because I looked up Papiro Sen, and I'm going to watch that film at some point. I didn't get to it, but I saw that it's the name of a famous Yiddish song, and then also the name of this film is also inspired by music. And so I figured that, and then there's a lovely short film, that I love, Enjoy Yourself, which is also very musical. Obviously, then you have a way of finding yourself in music to create.
Yes, music is very important to me. Very often I find myself beginning a project thinking of the music. For me, it's a natural way. I find it strange when people write music for a film.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of unnatural because, also, of course, cinema is also very much related with music in many ways. So for me, it's been, I mean, all of my films have been one way or the other named after musical pieces. And I like this because for me, it's of the many things we ignore about one's own projects. For me, this is at least sort of a humble way of approaching the unknown world of one's film. So in some ways I feel like there's so many things I ignore about the films while I engage myself into them, but the sort of musical standard or company or starting point is, for me, it's a sincere way to begin a project. And I'm trying to get more into the narrative at that stage, because I feel like I can let go a little bit of this in the future. I mean, not that I'm really doing it, mm-hmm. but I find that now that I have sort of made my point and feel myself, I feel more, secure about many things than when I started making films. So I feel like going back to more of a traditional
format?
Narrative. Yes, in a way. Not to let go of the sort of the thing that I find that my films have somehow achieved.
Yeah.
It's in the sense of my formal interests.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way that I would like the films to sort of have more of a life, and not to just be, that it's not so difficult for the films to be screened and experienced. So I don't know. There's a lot of prejudices against certain aspects of the cliches, and of course, I have all of them. So I'm just trying to see where is that boundary between a film that can involve other elements of the tradition that I find interesting and cinematic, and not necessarily turn against, a lot of the things that have been done by our predecessors.
Right, and then what about being The film descriptions describe, I guess, the relationship between this lethargic observation from the outside, but from the inside into this other world of, I guess, what's happening in our socioeconomic milieu, and I say that del sur al norte, it's not just in Argentina, where I feel like in all of this could fall for the Caribbean, was that on purpose, or is it just also you playing with all of your ideas and emotions?
Well, I wouldn't say there's much really made on purpose. Like, after, we're not really looking, going after an effect. And to be frank, we quite didn't know what was going on throughout the process. It wasn't that we didn't know what would happen the next week. We didn't know what was happening during the shot. It was very improvised in a way that was very hard to deal with for all of us. But it's just the way it happened. And for me, it was okay. I mean, it was difficult to deal with the frustration of everybody else and my own fears. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, even though a lot of the times we didn't really get much done because it wouldn't work or we couldn't do what we wanted, but then the days that we would get, you know, the good stuff, we knew it, and that's how you started to move somewhere. And it's difficult because most of the times the film involves a lot of, you know, money and people and anxieties, and there's a lot of things at risk. And I think we took a lot of risks, and that's also a quality. I think the nice thing about films is that they resemble a lot the process behind and the people behind. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would have lost my interest a long time ago. So I really, you know, I knew I wanted to make a film that was daring and was sincere and was mysterious and that was inspired by these very beautiful materials. And even if we didn't have a very clear idea what was going to happen, I knew that I would somehow, I mean, now it's easy to say that I didn't know, I was very afraid. And I would really ask my colleagues all the time, we had a lot of fun, and they had a lot of fun, reminding me how uncertain we all were or how uncertain I was. But I think that's also why we make these films. I mean, if we had everything under control, at this point, I wouldn't be so interested. I mean, eventually, if I improve, it wouldn't be so bad to have more control in certain things. But coming, like I said before, from more documentary personal work, I think like to control too much doesn't help with fiction.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that's life, right? I mean, how we deal with fear, facing every day, the challenges.
Yes. In that sense, I relate a lot to my characters in this film, and of course, I'm very close to them, and you know, that's one of the nice things I think shares with my other films is that even though it's portraying people in a very intimate, personal, sensitive situations of their sort of existential aspects of their lives, the film is never judging or condemning them. Quite the contrary, mm-hmm. You know, I always tend to have a lot of love for my characters. My previous films is my own family and mm-hmm. people I know before making the film. But in this film, it's also about getting close sort of to these people. And also I choose them. I mean, they somehow get in the film, but it's a very natural process somehow. It's not so oriented by... I mean, it's interesting because the film is sort of also depicting a lot of ways of how sort of the capitalism is organizing relationships in terms of the work and the money, and a lot of these aspects of society are very central to the film, and how the film itself becomes a merchandise or refuses to become one by terms of how it, you know, deals with its own narrative or its own production process. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. Seems to be a relationship there.
Yeah, I see that. And then to go back to one of your shorts, I guess. Then for Enjoy Yourself, was that like a bat mitzvah or bar mitzvah?
That's my sister's 15-year-old party, which mm-hmm. is not a bar mitzvah, but it could have been, and it's kind of a bar mitzvah actually. Mm-hmm. And it's the time that I was going to bar mitzvahs in the 90s. Mm-hmm. No, in the 80s, I think actually that's.
Yeah, because
that's before I was. No, that's in the 80s. That's because that's before I was going to bar mitzvahs. But it's how bar mitzvahs looked at the time.
Yeah.
In the same salon. No, it's actually very special. It's a short I did in between these films, and it had to do with the 50th anniversary of the Vienna Film Festival, and it was some sort of self-commissioned. I thought it was sort of a joke, you know, like a nice gesture, like a filmic offering. Mm-hmm. I made it for my friend who's running this festival, and he often commissions his one-minute films to all of the masters, the living masters of cinema. And as a young director, I thought it would be a nice offering to you know, to thank and to offer this piece which is about celebration. And yeah, I like this short. It hasn't, I haven't really seen it on the cinema, but it has, it actually has played in Locarno and in Vienna and in some other festivals.
It's lovely. I've been in parties like that. I danced like, I guess maybe your cousin, or there was a young woman there. Okay. I was, estaba muriéndome de la risa because I'm a party, you know, I go to parties and I dance. And I remember being that age and totally like ripping it out on the dance floor. There's just a lot of heart. You have a lot of heart and it's beautiful, Gastón. Me encanta. It's so pure and real. And
thank you so much. I'm
very grateful. So I guess, what, one last question to sort of close, like, are you happy? Are you doing what you love? Are you following, you know, living the dream, so to speak?
Well, what dream you mean?
The dream of being a filmmaker. The art.
It's not really a dream. I mean, it's actually very, you know, like have success. It's more, making films is more athletic than aesthetic in a way. Yeah, I mean, I was a bad student in school, and it was not easy, the transition to, my own transition to adulthood, like that of the characters, and in that sense, we all are a little bit adolescent, like my father says. I feel very privileged to be able to make films. I'm still not really making a living on them, but hopefully I will soon. It's a very intense work, and sometimes it's just too, you know, it gets too much to your vitality and to sleep and to everyday important aspects of life. So I feel privileged. At the same time, it's not something like I control, and I know exactly how to do it, and that's how you do it, which I think is a good thing, because again, otherwise, what would be the interest? But I do feel very happy for my films so far. Each one of them has sort of meant an important hit in my life, meaning that I really changed, and every single film, this is my third film now, and every one of them, they have really transformed me. I mean, they've all been very important to me, and this one has just begun its life, but so far, I'm very, very pleased with the response, and it's actually very exciting that I can show this film presented in these beautiful festivals and get these kind of reactions of audience. And in that sense, it is a sort of a dream of when I was younger. Now it becomes like, you know, a craft and a profession. And I think that's important for anybody to have its own, I mean, for the characters in the film. I think the difficulty of not having the necessity to work or to choose a profession is that it's the easiest way to get lost in life. If you don't need to, you know, to organize your life around work and love.
Like a purpose.
Yes. So, yes, I think in a way it is a dream.
Beautiful. Thank you. And I see you next week.
See you next week. And thank you so much for the lovely impressions on the film and the questions, and let's hope you like it on the screen.
I'm sure I will. Thank you for listening to Notes from a Native Daughter. You can find me on SoundCloud, iTunes, or Stitcher.